Welcome to NetFront Presence. I'm Matt DeFrance of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, joined by Nathan Mills, also of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And Nathan, the Blues are coming home from a road trip with two wins in their back pocket after beating the Ottawa Senators on Saturday, the Montreal Canadiens on Sunday. Two wins in 24 hours, both tight games, had to close it down in the third period. Good goaltending, got top six production. Like, it seems like there's a lot of things to like about this back-to-back that they got two wins out of.
Yeah, you got to be happy coming home right now, right? You know, you come back to St. Louis where you're most comfortable and you've got two wins. And what it feels like is not just two wins. It feels like some of the things that you've been missing are starting to come together. You know, we've had Hofer doing well for a while now, but he has that career high in saves against Ottawa. And then last night, you know, Binnington did enough to keep them in there. And, you know, the nice thing about last night, so the Hofer game, it was defense and goaltending, which we've harped on all season, right? The Montreal game, it was offense, you know? So it kind of seems like the pieces that have been missing are starting to break through. Now it's one of those things where, you know, it's harder to stay there than it is to get there, you know, but coming home while you're there might help out, I think.
Yeah, and it's a vastly different feeling coming home last night for the Blues versus when they first started the trip after that loss in Boston. Like, that loss in Boston was just almost a continuation of that game. Yeah. Against Anaheim, where, you know, you're kind of questioning the defense, you're questioning the goaltending. Jim Montgomery's questioning the effort yet again. And suddenly, like, you go from that feeling of dread, almost like, here we go again. Yeah. They've lost two in a row. Everything's not good. And then, bam, there's a game in Ottawa. Bam, there's a game in Montreal. Win both of them. And suddenly, you know, this team that's been kind of battered by injuries, you know, the latest one is Jordan Kyrou, who injured his lower body officially in the first few minutes of that game in Ottawa. He was seen in Ottawa and Montreal with a brace on his left knee, and he's going to get an MRI done on that now that the team's back in St. Louis. But you go through that injury, you go through the Nathan Walker being out for 8 weeks, Jimmy Snuggerud out for 6 weeks, Alexei Toropchenko out week to week. They lost Philip Broberg for a few shifts after blocking a shot. They lost Oscar Sundquist for a few shifts with an injury. Like, they just, it seems like there's a lot of guys going down, a lot of guys picking up the slack. And, you know, that's it's what they need right now. They need contributions from different parts of their lineup, because this is what they are, that they're a team that's going to be successful based on how the sum of their parts performs. Like, they do not have a superstar. They have very good players at the top of their lineup, but they don't have that transcendent guy that can kind of take the team on his back and go. They're going to need different parts to contribute, and they've had a lot of different parts contributing, especially in these two wins in Ottawa and Montreal, I think.
Yeah, I think you said it really well. Is, you know, they do need different parts contributing. A lot of the wins this season have felt like one guy stealing a win for a team, whether it's been goaltending, whether it's been somebody putting up two goals in a 2-1 win. It's felt like one player, you know, putting the team on his back, but it hasn't been consistent, like a superstar performance. It's just different guys every night. These two wins felt like team efforts. They felt like everybody doing their job. There was, you know, kind of a cohesive, you know, effort, and, you know, everybody kind of moving toward the same goal. You know, and that's something that it hasn't felt like we've seen a lot this season. To see it in two games back to back feels pretty good. You know, I'm sure Jim Montgomery feels pretty good about that after some of the things that he's had to say about the team's effort and you know, not necessarily playing for each other all the time. Playing the game the right way is the way Montgomery likes to phrase it. Yeah. You know, and I think we saw a lot more of, you know, the right way on those two games in Canada. So, you know, I don't know if there's enough there to keep it up long term. You know, it's one of those things where, like, as I was watching the Canadiens game, I thought, man, this kind of feels like the beginning of that run last year where the pieces are starting to click. But I don't want to put that too far out into the ether and, you know, jinx things or you know, whatever. But it just feels like some things are starting to come together, even though it has been a very slow start. And if they were going to do it, now is the time.
Yeah, it's they've got a long way to go, and I think they all realize it. You know, Jim Montgomery gets that, Braden Schenn gets that. But this is how you start kind of climbing back.
Yeah.
You got to put together a string of games here and there. You're going to have to put together an extended streak, so to speak. Like, they're going to have to do that. And really, in the last, 13 games, they got 14 points. So, like, that's a little over 500. They're it's still not great, but it's
right.
Better.
It's progress.
They're at 11, 12, and 7 right now, which is on pace for 79 points. Still probably about 16 points off of where you need to be for a playoff team. So, like, that's not good enough, but it is the best that they've been since the seventh game of the season when they were 3-3-1. That's the last time they're at 500. And this is the best points percentage they've had since then. So, you know, they've changed their defensive zone. They're asking for different things in the offensive zone. The goaltending is a little bit better. The top six is performing better. And this is all through some injuries. So there's a lot to like about where the Blues are headed. But this is one thing that I wrote in the Post-Dispatch was they're kind of like an ink blot test right now. You know, one of those things where you put a bunch of ink on a paper and they judge what you see. Sometimes you see a butterfly, sometimes you see a face. And, sometimes you look at this Blues team, you see a team that's 2 points out of a playoff spot. That's a real thing. They're 2 points out of a playoff spot or 5 points out of being the worst team in the league, right? Like, you could squint hard enough and see a turnaround coming, or you could say, you know what, we've seen them win two games in a row before. And then what happened? You know, they beat Ottawa, they beat Utah in back-to-back games. And then the Anaheim game happens, and then the Boston game happens. So, like, Blues fans have seen this team win two games in a row and seen it come crashing right back immediately after. So, yeah, like, there's a lot of reasons to be skeptical about who this team is, where they're headed. But as of this past weekend, there are at least positive signs to notice with this group and what they've been able to do in Ottawa and Montreal.
The coming schedule is good for them too, I think. I mean, the next four games are all very winnable games. They've got Boston at home. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather there. They've got Boston at home. They've got Nashville on the road, then Chicago and Nashville again, both at home. I don't know if you win all four of those games, but those are all four winnable games before you get Winnipeg and what should be a pretty good game. So I think, you talked about a Rorschach test, right? But to me, it's like glass half full, glass half empty, which I guess is kind of the same thing when you think about it. What do you see? Half full glass or and then somebody gives a weird answer like a butterfly, and you're like, all right, get out. Glass half full or glass half empty. I think you can look at it and see, okay, if they lose this game against Boston, they drop one of these against Nashville, you can kind of start dreading again, the sense of dread you talked about. But they pick up, 5-6 points out of these four. That would feel really, really nice going into that Winnipeg game, and they're right there in the thick of it again. So it's a critical juncture. We've talked about injuries and guys needing to step up, and it feels like, tentatively, feels like that's starting to happen.
Yeah, and they're getting the right guys scoring right now, right? Like, in Ottawa, Jake Neighbors scored twice. In Montreal, Braden Schenn scores twice. Dylan Holloway has a goal and two assists. Pavel Buchnevich scores again after he scored in Boston. Like, there were times earlier in the season where you look at the score sheet and it'd be Sundquist, Walker, Bjugstad, Joseph, and you're wondering where's this production from the top guys, and how do you get that? Where is it coming from? And I think a lot of that was kind of bottled up in the Blues offensive struggles, where they've scored more than two goals in just two of their last 12 games, one of them being in Montreal on Sunday. So they're getting that back, which is a necessary thing. Like, they need to have that in order to be a team that can push for a playoff spot. Like, that was something that they had last year, where Robert Thomas is, I think he would have been on pace for about 95 points.
Yeah.
If he didn't miss some time, like, you have Kyrou as a consistent 30 goal scorer. Holloway has his breakout year. They had a lot of offense from defensemen as well. So they need their top guys to be their top guys, as the saying goes. You need your best players to be your best players. And this is one of the things that, you know, Robert Thomas is 132nd in the NHL in scoring, and he leads the Blues. So that's not quite where they need to be, but it is right. Encouraging to see those top guys get going.
I don't think it's a coincidence that you go back a couple of weeks and you couldn't even squint and see positives, right? And now, you know, you can a little bit. I don't think it's a coincidence that that's starting at the time that, you know, Buchnevich is getting going, that Holloway is getting going, that, you know, Neighbors is back and getting going. I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think anybody would tell you the same thing. You know, a guy like Holloway, Neighbors coming back from that injury and getting going, you know, he didn't play great as he was getting back up to speed, but getting the two goals on this trip was huge for the team and huge for him, getting him back going. You know, Buchnevich, he's been a subject all season long, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And suddenly he's got points in, what, 7 of 9, something like that. So, you know, is he going to be the guy he has been the past couple of seasons for you? Maybe not, but I don't know that you need him to be. I just think you need him to just be a top contributor like he's doing right now, and you'll have success. And that's, you know, they have so far. You know, consistency has been the problem with the Blues this season, I think, up and down the roster, and that's going to be the trouble going forward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the consistency has been an issue because so many different parts of their game have kind of gone in and out. You've seen the penalty kill be really good like it's been recently. You've seen them kind of not been as good to start the season. You've seen their goaltending be really bad to start the season, and now suddenly they're pretty good. Their top six guys we just talked about kind of getting going a little bit more. Power play was struggling mightily. They did kind of had an almost power play goal in Ottawa. It had happened pretty much just as soon as the power play expired. So in spirit, that's a power play goal, but not in reality. And then, you know, they did actually get an official power play goal in Montreal. So they've had a lot of different parts of their game come and go. They've changed up their D zone. They're wanting different things in the offensive zone. They're working on different things in practice, angling, better puck movement, puck support. Like, there's just a lot of different areas where it's gone up and down, and that leads to an inconsistent team. Now, when you get the goaltending that you get in Ottawa from Joel Hofer, that papers over a lot of different things. And
yeah,
that night, honestly, so close to being a legendary night for a St. Louis Blues goaltender. He has a shutout going, kind of loses it with, what, 5 minutes left in the third period. All right. So
something like that, yeah.
An almost shutout. He goes for the empty net. Misses by maybe a foot to the right. So he has an almost goal. And in that scrum with, you know, 7 seconds left, he sees Philip Roberg with two guys on him, and he jumps in there, earns his first roughing penalty of his career. Roughing penalty is different than a fighting major, right? But an almost fight. So we had Joel Hofer with an almost shutout, an almost goal, and an almost fight as he makes a career high 41 saves. Just, it could have been an absolutely unreal night in Blues history for a goaltender. And we were this close, Nathan, this close.
I'm disappointed that you liked that line enough when you wrote it to use it in the podcast, but you didn't finish it by saying almost Gordie Howe hat trick.
The almost goalie Gordie.
You got to go all the way through. You finished the line. I'm honestly disappointed that you used it, because I was going to use it if you didn't. So it's tough
to ask a goalie to get a goal assist in a fight. But, you know, if you can get a shutout, a goal in a fight, like, that's an all time night. And that should be
his next goal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to have a Gordie Howe hat trick. That's what I want
to do. It's funny because when we're in Ottawa, and the home reporters are there, and I'm standing there, and I'm asking them about, you know, the game, and they seem to be surprised that he goes for the empty net there in that situation, where it's kind of a given with him right now. Like, he went for it earlier in the season against Seattle. obviously went wide. There's an icing. They end up giving up the game tying goal in the final seconds on a controversial goaltender interference. They lose the game in overtime. That attempt maybe didn't go so well hindsight. But he has scored a goal in the AHL. And to me, his most impressive feat was when he hit both the left post and the right post in the same game. He shot at the empty net and he hit the post, opposite posts in the same game. If he tried to do that again, I don't think that he could. So that one is a fun one, but it's just one of those things that he's going to get a goal in the NHL. It's just a matter of when it happens, how it happens, what the score is, whether it's a one goal game or a two goal game. He's always kind of talked about going for with a two goal game, but his last two attempts have been one goal games that have forced icing. So like,
imagine like the day it's a 0-0 game and he happens to slide one down there and he gets the shutout. He wins the game. He goes down, fights somebody. That's the game right there. A 1-0 shutout where you score the goal and fight the other team's goalie. That's what I want to see.
Well, I guess last year he had, it was against the Islanders. He had the game-winning assist in overtime, and he had a shutout. So it was a 1-0 overtime, 1-0 overtime win. He had the assist on the game-winning goal. I don't think we'll ever get to him scoring the game-winning goal just because of or game-winning goal in the shutout just because of when the other team would pull a goalie.
Well, you got to fight the goalie first. That's what he sees. You fight the goalie, take the goalie out of the game, then you score the goal.
Well, you fight the goalie, you're getting tossed. Tough. Yeah.
Shoot the puck real fast, real slow, skate real fast.
Yeah. Fight the goalie. The order of the things are, it's going to be tough to accomplish. That's why Saturday night, we're so close. So really great night for Joel Hofer in Ottawa. Really great sign for the Blues that he continues his upward trajectory after a pretty bad start to the season. And really since that Pittsburgh game, since the start of November, he's been lights out for them. And he deserves a lot of credit for bouncing back the way he has.
Probably a top five goalie in the NHL in the last month and a half, right? Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah. So really good for Joel Hofer and welcome sign for the Blues. And what wasn't a welcome sign was in Boston when suddenly we're talking about effort again. I didn't see it coming in the post game with Jim Montgomery. I could tell he was obviously very upset with how the game went, given his two sentence or forward answers or you after doing this for a while, you understand where things are going after a game like that and the answers you're getting. And, the question that brought it up was, is this a simple fix when you talked about the bad reloads in the offensive zone, the bad gaps in the neutral zone? And he says, yeah, it's an effort thing. And that was kind of been a buzzword around St. Louis because he's used it so often. It's been something that we've talked about for probably about a month. And I think fans are tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm sure the players, coaches are tired of talking about it. Like, this is something that it seems to be better in that Ottawa and Montreal game, but the fact that it was brought up less than a week ago as a continuing factor is still worrisome moving forward.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've talked about consistency, right? And, you know, if the effort isn't there, the consistency is not going to be there. We, you know, after those two games, we heard from Montgomery and from players, you know, about that effort and, you know, all positive signs. Hey, the effort was there. We're playing for each other. That was one we heard, playing for each other. You know, Montgomery playing the game the right way. That's what he says. And, you know, of course, he was really excited about the blocked shots, you know, this weekend. That's a big deal and certainly was helpful. I don't mean to diminish that. But, you know, I think if the effort's not there, the consistency is not going to be there. And if what we've talked about is correct, right, and the players are good enough, if they stay consistent enough to be a playoff team, then the effort has to be there. You know, how do you keep that up, though, is the question. You know, if the effort was a problem for October and November, what happened in December? You know, did the first snowfall in St. Louis drop a little effort onto everybody. Like what, you know, I don't know what happened to change that. I don't know if suddenly everything clicked. I don't know if, you know, just the lineup mix. I have no idea, but yeah. It did, you know, the effort was there. There were times this season where you could watch games and go, oh, you know, these, it kind of looks like they're not there.
There wasn't any juice in Boston. There's no juice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I feel like it was Falk maybe who said earlier this season, it felt like they were on autopilot at times. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, there are games where you can actually see it. And what's interesting is you can see it change throughout the course of a game too. You can see a first period come out just flying, ready to go. Second period, third period, it trails off. You know, you've seen that in several games this season. Didn't see that in Canada this weekend. So, you know, I don't know what changed for them to spark that effort, but I hope that whatever it is, they can keep it up, you know, just to, you know, for their sake. I just don't know how you do that.
They united against winter. You know, they saw the snow and they said, you know what, we're not having this.
That's what it was. The snow fell here. They said, nope, we're getting out of here. We're going to go someplace warm. They got on the plane, landed in Canada.
They said, hold on. They've had it.
You people tricked us and we're going to take it out on your hockey teams. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
That's right. So one guy who is up in Canada that I was able to see this week is Justin Carboneau. Justin Carboneau, the Blues first round pick from last year. He plays for the Blainville Bois-Brion. You got that, Nathan?
I took 4 years of French in high school and 4 years of French in college, and I don't speak a lick of it. So no, I did not.
Well, hold on a second. That's 8 years of French and you can't say two words?
I can say two words, like, but not those ones.
Not those.
not those ones.
So he plays for the Blainville Bois-Brion Armada.
Armada. I know that one. I know what Armada is.
You know what? Even at the arena, they have their chant. Let's go Armada. And they say Armada. Let's go Armada. I was like, hold on just a second here. I thought I was safe with Armada. And here they go saying Armada.
Yeah, that would really, and it, honestly, if you pronounce it Armada instead of Armada, it really messes with the chant. Let's go Armada. Yeah, like you have to change the tone.
Sure,
of it.
Sure. Maybe it's just localized to the chant. Maybe
could be. Yeah, wrestling has a lot of those. See, if you started watching wrestling, you'd understand this.
Different wormhole here, huh?
I know.
So, the guest actually on today's episode is the Armada head coach, Alexander Jacques, who we spoke to last week about Justin Carboneau and his play this season. The night that I was in Bois-Brion to watch Carboneau play, he scored a shorthanded goal. He scored a power play goal. He did it in front of two members of Blues management. Tim Taylor, assistant general manager, was there. Peter Chiarelli, also part of the hockey operations staff, was there. And then he was at the game in Ottawa with his parents and with a teammate in Blainville Bois-Brion, Bill Zonin, who was a first round pick of the Penguins. So he was there, the four of them were there. He was on the FanDuel intermission show. The Blues digital team did an interview with him. And then he went by and stopped and had a brief chat with Alexander Steen, who was up in the press box, and Tim Taylor too. So he got to have a decent amount of FaceTime with St. Louis folks this past week, and he's had a great season. He's had a great season for them so far. I believe he's at 23 goals in 23 games. Unfortunately for him, wasn't enough to make Canada's World Junior roster, and that's something that you'll hear in the conversation later with Alexander Jacques. Obviously, it was before the announcement was made, but kind of talked about where he would fit in that whole roster dichotomy, that whole kind of realm. So it was fun to see Carboneau play. And honestly, now the biggest question is, when can he make it to the NHL? And I tend to think could be earlier than we think.
You got to see him in person. What did you think after you got to lay eyes on him as a player? I mean, I know the Blues are very excited about him. I know analysts really love his play, but I don't know if there's a way to stream Junior's games. I've never actually gotten to see him play a full game. What was it like?
Sure. Yeah. It's, you know, we've seen him at development camp with other Blues prospects, and we've seen him at the prospect tournament. We've seen him in training camp, but this is against his peers, right? This is his peers in junior hockey. He is so much more physical, I think, than a lot of other guys in that league, where he could body guys off pucks. He could, you know, kind of throw his body around in a way that he wants to and still have the skill to finish on the other ends. And that is something that excites the Blues a lot. I mean, even in talking to Jim Montgomery about Justin Carboneau, it wasn't really so much the on-ice stuff, but it was the off-ice, the confidence, the swagger, his ability to kind of have a healthy cockiness. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Right. I like that.
And the way that Jim Montgomery talked about it, he says, I'm not comparing their games, but the way that they carry themselves and the way that they speak about scoring goals, Brett Hull. That's what he said. Like, and he was very clear. He said, hey, I'm not comparing him to one of the greatest goal scorers of all time, but the way that he says this goalie is not going to stop me, that's a similarity. And you know, talk to someone else inside the Blues, and this is another thing, not comparing him to this player, not comparing him to this player, but there are, you know, there's a tendency here that to be a physical goal scorer, throws his body around, this kind of thicker, something that Alex Ovechkin does. You know, obviously, Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Why don't you guys just compare him to Gretzky next?
Like, I know, you know, right? We got Hull and Ovechkin. Like,
I'm not comparing their games.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Put it on the gravestone. But those are kind of the attributes that they see in him, and his birthday is kind of a unique one, so to speak, where a lot of times where a player gets drafted at 18, they'll play 2 years of junior and then they'll turn pro. But because of when his birthday lines up, this is his last year of juniors. Like, he could in theory go back for his overage year in junior hockey, but that's not an option for players of his caliber. There's nothing left to prove. And so next year, it seems like the choice will be between the AHL and the NHL. And he's doing everything he can to make that choice be the NHL. When I spoke to him, he kind of said, this is a different year. You know, before you're worried about helping the team win and kind of offensive numbers and impressing things. And then now you're worried about your 200-foot game. You're worried about your overall game because that's how you get to the NHL. And mm-hmm. I want to be in the NHL. So I really do. I love talking to him. I love the attitude he brings, the personality he has, and obviously the goal scoring is there. The willingness to kind of look at other parts of his game. And the one interesting thing that I enjoyed getting out of him in the conversation was, you know, he talks to the Blues development staff, and that's I think he said he works mostly with Matt D'Agostini and Chris Thorburn. And, you know, they go over the things they want him to improve on and get better at. And I say, well, do they go over the things you do well too? And he goes, no, just the things we want to improve on, but that's okay. I don't need the flowers. Give me the other stuff. I want to get better.
I love that. Yeah.
So that's, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's got a great personality. I'm really intrigued to see how the rest of the season goes for him and the Armada. Yeah.
I'm going to start pronouncing it that way all the time.
There you go.
Just really
the Spanish Armada.
Oh man, that's going to make some people crazy in my circle. I'm going to do it.
Is there any other Armada the Spanish one's the only one I know.
I'm sure there are some. I think Mazda made an Armada in the 80s. I'm sorry.
No, I think you are right. I think there is a car called the Armada.
Probably, yeah.
So it's curious to see how far they go in the Quebec playoffs and if they're able to kind of make their way through the Memorial Cup too.
How, you know, where do you see him slotting in, right? Dvorsky came in when he came in, he was going to be a top six guy. There was no way he was going to come in and, you know, work on a bottom six role. Is this the same thing with Carboneau? Not tomorrow by any stretch, but when the time comes that he gets here, is he is he pretty much assured a top six role, you think? I mean, is that kind of where he slots in for the Blues?
Yeah, I would imagine his usage looked similar to what Jimmy Snuggerud's looks like right now, or did before he got injured.
Right.
You know, he comes in, he plays with skilled players. He's a right-handed right wing that has a one-timer. Like, it seems like there's a good parallels to draw from the way that they've used Jimmy Snuggerud to the way that they could be using Justin Carbonneau whenever that happens. And like, it's not that Snuggerud has been, you know, locked into a top six role. He's kind of moved around the top three lines as they've shifted lines around and looked for different combinations. There's been times he's been on the third line. There's been times his minutes have looked like third line minutes. There's been times he's got first power play or top line minutes. Like, it just kind of depends on the night and how Jim Montgomery wants to put his lineup together. But I imagine when Justin Carbonneau is in the NHL, the usage will look similar to that.
Well, I think Montgomery's talked too about trying to get to a point to where they've got three legitimate scoring lines, and a guy like this would help, you know, get toward that goal.
Sure, and this is the cue for Blues fans to yell about Zach Bolduc. Zach Bolduc was on the third line.
I mean,
it's true. It is true. Last year he scored 19 goals and he had a third scoring line, but I don't think we need to relitigate that trade.
But he caused a penalty that the Blues got a goal on this weekend.
Yeah, there you go. So I think that's all for us at the net front for this week. Stay tuned for the interview with Blainville-Watbrion coach Alexander Jacques and what he's seen from Justin Carbonneau this season. It was fun to talk to him, talk to Justin, and obviously to talk some Blues with Nathan. So for Nathan Mills, I'm Matt DeFrantz. Stay tuned for our interview.
Go Armada.
And now we're pleased to be joined by Alexander Jacques, head coach of the Blainville-Watbrion Armada. And if you're a Blues fan, you recognize that team name as the junior team for first round pick Justin Carbonneau. Alex, how are you doing today?
Very good. Yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. Here to talk about Justin Carbonneau, who's an exciting prospect for the Blues. I think he came out into the scene last year when he got drafted, had a pretty fun development camp, kind of showcased his skill, his physicality. Even in training camp, he kind of caused some buzz around the fan base. Alex, when you looked at Justin's year so far, how would you kind of characterize how he's played?
Well, obviously, like you said, he's already mature physically, so he was able to stand out at a pro camp. So for us in our league, he's ahead of most players in the league physically. So he's using that to his advantage, which is good for our team as well. And there's not too many guys that once they have the puck on their blade, they want to score as much as he does. So that's really his main characteristic, that he's a goal scorer. Obviously, the stats are showing it too. But once he gets the puck on his tape, he's got a drive to bring it to the net and to make a difference.
Yeah, so as we record this, 21 goals in 22 games. And before the Blue season kind of got all picked up, I was watching a lot of your games. And what I noticed most about him, it seems that he can turn nothing into something very quickly. There's not a ton going on, and then suddenly the puck's on his stick and it's in the back of the net.
Yeah, he's got an instinct. Like some players, they have to work at it. Some have an anticipation, or they have it naturally. It's the case for Justin. When it comes to scoring goals, he knows he's able to anticipate where the puck is going to go. And again, like I said, physically, he's so strong that he's able one-on-one with the puck. He's probably the best in our league to be able to be the guy one-on-one and to be able to bring that puck inside that as well, which some players are good at beating their opponent one-on-one and they end up in the corner of the ice. He's good at coming inside that and bringing that puck to the net. That's a reason why he's got 20 goals so far.
Yeah, and that anticipation that you talked about, how much of that is just kind of natural hockey IQ and how much of that is developed through experience in the league, you think?
I think it's really natural. And that's the thing too. At the same time, that being said, is natural ability of scoring goals or wanting to score goals. That's what we need to work with him if he wants like to have the pro game. Like we hear about the young players. We hear the coaching staff from pro teams have he needs to develop his pro game, which is something we're working on because we don't want to take away his instinct of scoring goals. But at the same time, sometimes there's going to be turnovers because of it as well. So there's a fine line. But to answer your question, it's really, I think it's natural. Since he's young, he developed that instinct of scoring goals, and how could I say that? He is identified as a goal scorer, and people are valuing him as a goal scorer, which that's why like he's good at it. But he can bring much more to a game because of his physicality. The day like when he decides that defensively he's tracking hard and he's coming back and he decides that he wants to take the puck away from an opponent, again he's good at it. So we want to develop that aspect of the game, which is going to help him to get to that pro level and be able to score goal at that level as well.
Yeah, I think I remember when he was in St. Louis for training camp, and we would talk to Jim Montgomery and we talked to Justin about, hey, like, what are kind of the teaching points from the staff? And Montgomery would say, you know, when we're coming back into our zone, you know, we want him to be kind of coming back harder. We want him to not be the fifth guy back in the zone always. Or when there's a turnover in the offensive zone, we want to get the puck back within the first 3 seconds or so. Like, when you hear those teaching points, how much of those have you seen in his game from even just coming back from an NHL training camp?
Well, before he went there, it was part of what we shown him that we wanted him to improve, not just for him, but for our team identity and the way we want to play. And like you say, what's happening right now is that he's conscious about it. I think before he was not really conscious about it. He didn't realize that sometime he was cheating the game because he was anticipating a breakout or a puck to come on his blade. Now the difference is that he's able to identify those action, and he's working hard to get better at it. And to again, it's hard because there's a fine line. We don't want to take away his instinct, but I know we know as a coaching staff here and by working with the people at the pro level, that's one thing that he has no choice but to keep building on if he wants to skip the AHL and to go directly to the NHL next year, which he's able to do it and he's capable of doing it. Again, it's all coming down to it's habits that he developed over so many years that it's not going to change overnight, but we see an improvement on his side.
Right. Is this his last year of like junior eligibility?
No. Technically, they're allowed to come as a 20-year-old, but we
Right.
know he's not going to be back. He's
Yeah.
going to play at the pro level. Which, where is it going to be, AHL or NHL? That's up to him. It's up to what's going to be available as spot next year in St. Louis, but he's going to play pro definitely not next season.
Right. So let's go back to this summer and just the process. He gets drafted. You know, obviously there's a decision he has to make between going to college or coming back to Quebec. I'm sure you're involved with it. Can you just take me through that process, what it was like to kind of speak with him and ultimately get him to come back to Blainville?
Yeah, well, in my case, I got named as head coach in June, at the start of June. So for Justin, the process was already in progress, depending on if he was going to come back here or to go play in CAA. And I think it was more, not I think, but it was more the ownership, our president, our owner, and our GM that started the process. And again, like I know Justin got a good offer to go play in the US. It was attractive for him. So both organization had something good to offer to him, and we're lucky and we're really happy he decided to come back with us. I think Justin had a feeling of he's been here since the start of his career, so he had the feeling that he wanted to accomplish something. We have a good team on paper right now, and he wanted to be part of it and to help probably bring a first championship to the organization here.
Yeah, just I mean, in the past year or so, I understand you have some history in the Canadian college, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the American college game has changed so much. Like, how much do you feel that as a junior team in Quebec, just the change of the atmosphere or the environment that you have to kind of you keep your guys a lot more?
Well, yeah, obviously everybody's still adapting. Like you said, I was at the Canadian college last year. At that level, we had to adjust. We like I'd say we I was with Concordia University. We already this past summer before I moved to Blainville, lost two players that went to the NCAA, and it's the same thing here. We've been lucky for this season with Boisbriand because we didn't lose any players. But it changed the way the GM have to do their business. It's going to be changing the way trades are going to be made at Christmas. It's trading it changes the way that you have to build your team. That's for sure. Like I said, this year we've been lucky. We haven't been affected, but we know it's going to be coming. At the same time, it's a great opportunity for our players. It's opening up a lot of different like I said, opportunity for them. So it's something that right now there's a lot of people in our league that we see as negative because we're losing players, but we need to turn that into something positive and be able to go get more players that want to come and develop here at our level and make the step after to the NCAA. Because like you said, I was at the Canadian university level and still like players are older, stronger physically, they're more mature physically, so it's still a big step.
Yeah. And I mean, your team that you have this year, one of the best teams in the league, one of the best teams in all of Canada right now. How much do you think that atmosphere and being surrounded by a ton of high-level players has kind of impacted or shaped Justin's development this year?
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why he came back and he decided to come back with us. It's good for him because they all went to a pro camp and they all lived different experience and they all brought that back to the team. I know they're all talking to each other, so they're comparing. And one thing that comes out of it is that they realize, and that's what we try. That's our challenge as coach with these young kids is to make them realize that at the pro level, yes, they have talent, but the reason why they're playing there is because they're so professional in their approach to take care of their body to when they get in the gym, when they're on the ice, and we keep telling them that a one-on-one battle, you need to be hard on that puck. Until they live it, they don't realize how hard it is and how strong these players in the NHL are. So the fact that we have a few guys that went to the pro camp and they all live the same thing. It's good because in practice, they can challenge each other and translate that, transfer that to the other guys that didn't live that experience. But so it's a plus for us. And obviously, like it's good for Justin to be surrounded by other players that live the same thing as he did.
Yeah, and if I'm counting correctly, you have two first round picks on your roster. You'll probably have another one in the summer with Xavier Villeneuve. Is I say that correctly?
Villeneuve, yeah, Villeneuve,
Villeneuve, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So you'll probably have, you know, three first round picks on your roster right now. You know, when you look at who to play Justin with, what kind of skill sets have you learned worked with his game and his style?
Well, you talked about those first rounder, and one of them is Bill Zonin. So he's played only one game since the start of season. So the plan was for Justin and Bill to have the chance to play together. The reason why is that they're both explosive skaters, Bill and Justin. And I felt that both of them can match speed on the ice and support each other. Justin is a really good shooter. He's like I said, he's a goal scorer, and Bill would compliment him by his physicality, being able to create the battles to win loose puck and to be able to feed Justin. But so far, he's been playing with Desjardins on our team, Vincent Desjardins, who's a really cerebral centerman. He's really smart at jumping in the areas and be able to cut plays. which I think he completes Justin good because Justin is getting a lot of pucks because of how Vincent is killing plays and anticipating plays. And he's playing with Matteo Nebajs right now. Matteo Nebajs is a really good skill passer, and he's got a good hockey IQ. So right now they've been complicated. They play good together. And again, our challenge is that they have a consistency in their defensive play. So that's always a challenge with offensive players, right? I'm
Right.
sure you're hearing the same thing at the NHL level right now with coaches at the AHL level. But they are conscious about it, and it's an ongoing process on their part.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking actually today with Jim Montgomery about one of their call-ups from the AHL, Alexandre Costamaki, and he was saying, well, he's one of the few people that thinks defense first. Everyone, when you're drafted, when you're signed, when you come to the NHL, you're always thinking offense first, and that's the way it goes. And that's just like a natural part of development, it seems, across pretty much every player.
It's something we have coaches that we need to have confidence in the players we put on the ice, and especially at the NHL level. It's not a development league, so the players, they need to get there, and coaches need to feel confident and they can put them on the ice, and they're not so worried about the offensive production. They know it's going to come, and each NHL team, they have so much talent that the production is going to come. But if you put a player on the ice and you're always worried that you're going to get scored on or that you're going to get cut in your zone, it's not just about being scored on. It's if you're spending every time there are players on the ice and you spend 35 to 45 seconds in your zone, well, the D squad is getting tired. Your goalie is getting tired. And it's something that adds on. And in third period, you pay the price most of the time. So for us, again, I'm repeating myself, but I need to say we need our skilled players to understand that we want them to play in the NHL. That's my goal. That's my coaching staff's goal. That's why we're coaching at a junior level. Of course, we want the success of our team, but our goal is to develop those players, and we want them to understand that I want them to be there. And the coach said, "Hey, I trust this player. This player, I can put him in any situation, and that's how he's going to get some ice time." And that's how he's going to be able to use his skill to score a goal for St. Louis.
Right. And through my conversations with him, very confident, got a lot of, I don't know if swagger is quite the right word. How would you kind of describe how he is off the ice or how his personality is?
Yeah, he is a confident person. He's really polite. He's really respectful for with us, with the staff. And he's a guy that talks a lot about his family. His family is important for him, and they're following him. You can see like all around all the rinks here, and they're really present for him. So he comes from a good family. He's got good manners, but he is confident, and I think it's a quality that if you want to play at the NHL level, you need to have. You need to have that swag, like you say. I think it's a good word to have that swag. You need that if you want to get to the next level. And yeah, he's and he's got a there's a reason, again, there's a reason why he's scoring those goals. There's a reason why when there's a 50-50 battle, he wants to get that puck to go make a difference. It comes from that confidence a little bit that I'm gonna have that puck and you're not gonna get it. So it's part of his personality.
Yeah. And as we speak right now, I mean, obviously you guys are having a great season and you know those games come first, but I'm sure he's probably thinking about the Canadian World Junior team. I think he's probably said to you and to everyone that they want to win a, you want to win a Memorial Cup. How much do you think those two things in particular, World Juniors, Memorial Cup, have served as motivation for him?
I'm sure it does, and right now I can understand that for him to be part of Team Canada is his priority, and I don't blame him for that. And we want him as an organization to be selected on that team because, again, we talked about being to a pro camp, the experience that it brings back to the rest of the team. Well, that experience, if he can play for Team Canada, with the coaching staff there, with what the environment of playing for our country here brings, and the demand on the details as well. So the experience you would live there, you would be able to bring that to the rest of the team, and that's the reason why I think it would be a good thing, really good thing for him, obviously, but it would be a great thing for our team if he could live that experience and bring that back to our room after.
Yeah, and I feel like at World Juniors, it's some players always play different roles too, right? There's so many skilled guys that sometimes you have a skilled guy playing a checking role. Like it feels like there's different opportunities to, for growth there too.
Exactly, and that's one of the reason why I'd like him to live that experience, that he's gonna be able to see that some guys playing first power play and playing 23 or 25 minutes in their junior team or NCAA team there are accepting the role of playing a third or fourth line and not have any special unit or special teams, and like I say, he's gonna be able to come back and translate that to our players and explain how it works, and hopefully if he can be part of a championship team, realize that how fun and how great it is to win something. And that's my hope for him, and that's my hope for our team, that again, it would be big for our locker room.
Right. And then we're going to get you out here on this one. When you look at Justin and his game from when you started the season, where would you like it to be at the end of the season? What kind of signs would you see in his game that would say, hey, we've done our job. We got into to this point where we wanted to be?
Well, obviously, offensively, we can guide him and show him some clips of little details here and there, but I don't think our coaching staff can teach him to score more goals because, like I say, he's got that instinct, and
He's
we don't
scoring
want to
plenty of them
change.
right now.
Yeah, we don't want to change anything there. Like I told him, once he's past the offensive blue line, he's got a free pass. If he stays in our structure, after that, he's got a free pass. I want him to keep trying to beat guys one on one because he's creating more, he's creating a lot for us, or he's drawing penalties on the other side. So that part, we're going to keep working on it. But to answer your question, if at the end of season you see him coming back hard in our D zone and stopping into position and not hoping for a quick breakout, if you see him stop in the battles and be at the right position and be able to support us on the breakout and support his demon, well, then our job's going to be done. And I'm sure for him as well, it's going to be a big step for him to skip maybe the AHL next year and to play in the NHL directly.
Right. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining me. It was great chatting with you about Justin, and look forward to seeing you in a few days, I guess.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. So for Nathan Mills, I'm Matt DeFrance. This was NetFront Presence.